Good evening.
First of all, a quick little business. Seeking some talent. Anyone know how to make the balloon animals? We have one face painter I know. Do we have anybody else could do face painting on kids? You know, June 30th will be here real soon. Faith and Freedom Fest, and we're trying to put together some activities for our booth that we will be doing. The face painting, the balloon animals. Anybody have that talent? See, Brother Rico, he just been voluntold us. Amen. 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 Praise God. I thank God for this brother. But get with him and let him know so we can all get together and know what all activities we're going to put on at our booth. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you being here this evening. We're in Acts chapter 20. And let me tell you right now, as I was reading this, and I said, wow. You know, Lord God, I wasn't an English major or any of that stuff. It's some biblical names and places, you know, the tongue twisters. But praise God, we're going forward. Amen? So, you know, and I heard Vance mention that today, too. I go, wow. I was just thinking the same thing, you know. But we're going to find here in Acts chapter 20 some great things happened. It came right on the heel of Demetrius and his crew trying to go to the proconsul and get the brothers in trouble and all this good stuff. But God has already said, you know, he won't let nobody hurt him or come against him, you know, so go forth and do what he was called to do. And we can take from that, you know. God is God before you, man. Who can be against you? And Demetrius and his boys came out because they were stripped of their power, their money, you know. These dudes hit them in the pocket, man. They could make no money because the word of God was going forth. And it wasn't about trickery that Paul was pointing to Jesus, amen, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So their work was exposed, and God was just blossoming. So they went to proconsul and wanted to get these brothers in trouble. So now we'll pick up in chapter 20 when it says, you know, because there was a big, almost a riot excited because of all this confusion. You know, people started to murmur and complain, a big uproar. So it says, after the uproar has ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embracing them, and departed to Macedonia. Amen. Departed to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopius of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus, the Thessalonians, and Gallus of Derbe, and Timothy of Tychicus, and Tropius of Asia. These men, going ahead, waited for us in Taurus, but sailed away from Philippi after the days of the unleavened bread, and the 5 days joined them in Taurus, where we stayed 7 days. Now, on the first day of the week, when his disciples came together, he broke bread, Paul, ready to depart. The next day, he spoke to them and continued his message until midday. We will find that after the uproar took place and Paul decided that he would do a little traveling, and now we're going to come into a part where Paul began to share the word of God once again throughout. We'll see throughout his mission, he's just laying out the word of God wherever he goes. He's on a missionary trip. He's going from Asia. He goes to Macedonia, you know, different places. And everywhere he goes, he's spreading the gospel. And you'll find that he's putting together these great teams, and these brothers begin to come together and doing what? They're breaking the bread. You know, they looking toward the day of the unleavened bread, and they hang out for 5 days, and then they join the Taurus, and when they stayed there 7 days, and when they stayed there for the 7 days, they was just doing what they was taught to do, and that was sharing the word of God, breaking bread, fellowshipping, and praying. And if we hold fast to those things, man, you're breaking bread, you're fellowshipping, you're praying, that's united. See, and when we unite, we stand. Divide, we fall.
Yeah.
You know, so these brothers stayed in unity, and they began to pray, and they began to break up bread, fellowship during this time that they was together, and Paul was going around being that church planter that he are, you know, and planting churches and setting people in certain areas and going, keeping them encouraged in the heart by going back and visiting them. And then Paul would go and he making them ready, and he depart the next day and spoke to them and continuously his message until midnight. Paul was preaching a message. Amen. Paul was sharing the word of God. It says on the next day. Now remember now, said on the next day. Then he's continued to share the word of God. So he got this audience and he's sharing the word of God, and he continued until midnight. He says, and there was many lamps in the upper room where they was gathered together. I can imagine they had light lamps because now he started, it says in the next day, it started early in the day, and here it is midnight, and Paul's still preaching. He's still bringing the word. So that many lamps was lit in the upper room at this time because Paul is bringing it. You're talking about a long-winded preacher. This boy was bringing the word, man. Here it is midnight, and they had the light lamps. And he still, it says, in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down three stories and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, saying, "Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up and broken bread and eaten and talked a long time, even till daybreak, he departed. Paul preached this powerful message. Here it is, man. And he's preaching so long, this young fellow sitting in the window and sleep overcoming. And he falls out. You know, Paul preaching a powerful message. A long time preaching. Long winded preacher. You know how sometimes you sit up at church, preaching get longer, you get the your head like a bobbing like a fishing cork. You know, and that's what happened to this young man. Well, sleep overcame him. He's sitting in the window and he fell out the window three stories. And Paul went and raised him from the dead. The power of God raised him from the dead. The things that I do, you would even do greater things. Amen. Then Jesus told the brothers that. And Paul went and showed that. He went downstairs and did what? He laid hands on him and he rose from the dead. And guess what he kept doing?
Preaching.
He kept preaching. Till daybreak. Hallelujah. No matter what, you keep sharing the word of God. Sometimes we're going to be met with stuff like that. But he kept preaching. He kept preaching, my man, you know, he wasn't seen, but man, don't trouble yourself. His life is back in him. You know, Paul, the power of God was right there in that place. And God was really just feeding him the word of God, because Paul started here at daybreak. It says on the next day, he started continuously sharing with them. And at midnight, they had the light lamps. And then this young man fall out the window, probably broke his neck. I don't know how he died, but he died. And Paul went and laid hands on him. And he rose and ate. And Paul kept preaching. He didn't quit his job. Sometimes things going to happen in ministry. You just watch God show up and show out. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. You keep on preaching. You keep sharing what thus says the Lord. Amen. Now, I can imagine that could have got some of us excited. Oh, man, whoa, what did I do? This man fell out the window. He's dead. Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Paul went and did what he knew how to do. Well, in the name of Jesus, get up. When he laid hands on him, and, you know, he covered him, and his brother, life was restored into him. And Paul kept right on preaching. I thought that was so powerful. Paul was raised the dead, man.
But everybody was listening
after
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody paid attention after that. This man fought three stories and he dies. Everybody will listen to what Paul had to say. You know, you're right. I can imagine everybody, bless you, paid attention to what was said. And then he says, now
Now when he had come up, verse 11, now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak before departing.
He talked a while longer. It's midnight, the brother fall out. He talks a long while and before he departed. Amen. Paul just kept on preaching until it was time for him to depart. And you keep on sharing what this says, the Lord, until our departure, until we go home to be with the Lord. Amen. We keep sharing what this says, the Lord, wherever we go, whatever circumstances may be. Share what this says, the Lord. Amen. Sometimes on this road, on this journey, it's going to be some ups, some downs, some valleys, some high spots. Some days, man, everything is going to be hunky-dory and great. But, man, sometimes it's going to be some valleys where we go through in life, but that's okay. Until that time of departure, we just keep on sharing Jesus. We keep living for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you guys, man, just keep doing it. Keep living for, see, what we're doing for Christ, man, will last. Amen. Nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. Amen. There's a reason and a purpose for everything that God allows in us, that we do in His name. Amen. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Amen. It says, and they brought the young man in alive, and there was not a little comfort. Then he went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assyria there, intending to take Paul aboard, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when they met us at Assyria, we took him on board and came to Mytilene, and sailed from there. And the next day, opposite of Chios, the following day we arrived to Samos, and save that. Now this one, somebody pronounce. Trolemion. The next day, we came to Melissus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so he would not have to spend time in Asia. So Paul didn't want to spend no time in Asia. He wanted to sail past it because Paul had a destination in mind. He didn't want to spend no time, and he decided he wanted to go past Asia this time and not stop and waste no time, because it was coming to the time of the Passover. And so that's why he went the route that he went. He didn't intend to stop and dock and burn his time. And sometimes we have a destination in heart and in mind, we need to be about our Father's business and get to where we know that we need to be. And this was the place that Paul, and it tells us right here, it says, time in Asia, and he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Passover. For Melinda's, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he says to them, you know from the first day. Now watch what Paul has to say to the elders of the church. Says, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, and what manner I always lived among you. He says, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, what happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. He said, man, you know I came as with a spirit of humility. Man, the Jews plotted against me. There's always trials and tribulations on this road to serve the Lord. And he says, you know, I just came in the spirit of humility. And sometimes we're going to find ourselves to stay humble no matter what come against you. I don't care what come against you, man. If you for God, amen, God got your back. Things and people sometimes will come against you. All manner of things, man. You're going to hear and you notice, but you don't take notice because you know who you serve, who you belong to. Don't let stuff affect you if you're truly a man of God. Now, if you're doing it in yourself, and then probably will bother you. Amen. But if you're doing it for the glory of the Lord, it doesn't matter what people say, think, or do.
And this brother, man, he says, man, he was serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And we know the things that Paul went through and all the things that they afflicted him for what? Just tell him the truth. Well, just for just saying, this says the Lord. And whatever reason they thought they had, they came against him in these different trials and plotted to even take his life. He plotted even to take his life. So this brother was on a hard journey. Amen. The Jews plotted all these different things. He says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly from the house to house. He said, man, I didn't have anything back. I keep anything back from you guys. What God gave me, I gave you. You know, and that's what we do. Whatever God put in your heart, man, and ladies, you know, give to the peoples of God. God don't blesses us just for ourselves. God blesses us to be a blessing. And Paul says, didn't hold anything back. What God deposited into me, I gave it out. I went from house to house. I didn't secretly do it. I did it in public. Amen. He said, I serve God. You know, be a soldier for the Lord. He went from house to house, says, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see how I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem. I'm going bound in the spirit to Jerusalem. He still have the love of Christ with all this stuff coming against him. I'm going bound in the spirit to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, but he says, going bound to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testify in every city, saying that that change and tribulations awaits me. Paul says, man, I already know what the Holy Spirit already showed me. Chains, and they're going to lock me up. I'm going to go through trials. I'm going to go through tribulation. But it's no secret. The Holy Spirit already revealed these things. Remember on his conversion, when the Lord told Ananias, he says, go ahead and lay hands on this man, that the scales will fall from his eye, for he must suffer many things for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. Here it is. He's already known what he's going to suffer to serve the Lord. Amen. He's already know this. Amen. And brothers, things going to come against you. The word tells us the same thing. Man, if you serve God, things going to come against you. He says, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. You know, we face persecution, but we'll overcome. Because Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome the world. Don't be afraid of the persecutions and the trials. I'm not saying be some type of lunatic and just go get in trouble and say, oh, I was a persecutor, I went through a trial, you know, and go put yourself in harm's way. But if harm happened to come your way and you're truly serving God, Lord have you. And then if you don't, God still have you. Amen? He still have you. Even if he don't, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if my God don't, I know he's able. And he didn't, it wasn't the fact that he was not able, that he didn't deliver me from the trial. It just wasn't meant for me to be taken out of that. Maybe it's a lesson in that trial for me to learn while I'm there. And so we can't go, oh God, why you didn't do this? Oh, you couldn't. No, God can do whatever he want to do. Sometimes it's necessary that I go through that trial. But whoa, hold the phone. Wait a minute. It didn't destroy me. God was even in the midst of the trial with me. Amen? So Paul knew that it wasn't to his surprise that because the Holy Spirit testified in every city saying that chains and tribulations awaits me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish. Woo! My Lord, that may finish my race. Paul ain't tripping, man. You know, it's not going to move me from what God called me to do. Sometimes Pastor, man, I'm going to be with you, man, another 2 years. Man, nothing moved me from here, man. And as soon as a disagreement come up, I'm gone. I'll grab my bags, I'm out of here.
Wait a minute, you just said we're not the movie. I'm gonna be here for the next 2 years. Oh, and people start, hey, whoa, man, just, you know, hold that and just let God do it. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I ain't going nowhere, man. I'm gonna be here, serve with you, man, for the next 2 years. Soon as somebody says something, hurt your little feelings, you gone. Give me my bag, I'm out of here. You know, but I can't be moved. I won't be moved. Have this spirit, man. Just don't allow stuff, tribulations. Who am I that I won't go through trials? Who am I that I won't go through the tribulations? Be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. I shall not be moved. I'm going to stand. Come hell or high water, I'm going to serve the Lord. This brother was saying that. He knew what awaits him. He didn't turn around and go the other way. He stayed on course. He went where the Spirit led him. Amen? Stayed on course, man, and started this race. And he says, man, I may finish this race. Let us lay aside all the sin and the weight that's so easy for the set us that we may run this race with patience, man. Amen. Take the weight off. Throw off that sin and weight that so easily beset us. These things that we know about, the things that we're not conscious of. That's the Lord. Because I believe that we know about everything that we're going through. Just ask God to move these things out of our lives, man. Sometimes we choose to hold on to little things that weigh us down. And let's just let go and let God and run this race, man. And the key thing, he says that right here, that I may finish my race. That's serving the Lord until the day he take me home. That's the only way I'm going to finish the race. Amen. That I may finish the race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of grace of God. To finish that race with joy. Don't walk around like we're sucking lemons. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes that we say we walk around mad dogging and face all frowned up. No joy of the Lord. Man, smile. That'll be some kind of evidence that we are men of God and women of God. Amen. Have the joy of the Lord in our hearts sometimes. Smile, man. Greet each other, man. These brothers come home every day. Boom, what's up, man? How was your day? You know, greet each other with joy. You know, what's up, man? Forget that, man. Serve the Lord with joy. And this is what Paul was talking about, finishing that race with joy, man. Be joyful to serve God. And talk about the grace of God. For the most part, man, we have a great time around here as men and women of God. I think God couldn't think of a better place to serve, you know. It's a great place to serve. I know for a long time, I wouldn't even want to come to Philly. I didn't come up here. I would go to Calvin and teach when I was passing down the hill. I look at the news, man, it was either too hot in my mind or too cold. I look at the snow, man, woo-wee, cold up, but it's just as cold in Calvin. Just as hot as Calvin, but I wouldn't come up here. But now the Lord made way for me to be up here, and I enjoy it. I said, wow, man, look what I've been missing all this time. Been missing it, man. And so I learned to serve with joy, brother. Love the Lord and love what he placed in our heart to do in the group of guys, man. Jesus. You know, just guys that love Jesus, committed. It's committed guys here, man. You guys are committed to the works of the Lord, and this is what Paul talked about, him being committed unto the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Paul says, man, you won't even see me no more. See, here's Paul getting ready to go through all these trials that he got to face down the road that we'll get to. Get to study these trials, different courts, and all this stuff. See, man, many of you won't even get to see my face anymore. When I depart from this place, Paul knew what awaits him, but still, he wanted to go on and teach and preach the glory of God, amen, and the goodness of our Lord, knowing that these other verses coming up, these other chapters coming up, man, he's going to be before kings and this place and that place, shipwrecks. You know, no, I won't spoil the whole thing, but there's a lot in there he's going to go through, you know. And he knew that. And that's why he says, many of you don't even see my face again. You know, you won't see my face. And he says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul said, man, I ain't holding nothing back. You know,
This is, man, I hadn't shown anything. I'm just giving it. So I'm innocent of all man blood. Man, if you're in the hearing of the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, if you on this route, brother, you're getting the word of God. Holding nothing back. And that's how we ought to be. When we go in that sanctuary, we sit in this room, we cross this ground, we ought to be able to share the word of God one with another. Amen? Share the word of God. We get men coming in here every day. I don't know how many. I think I count at least 3 or 4 came in today. I know a father and a son. How many guys came in today?
We are working on number 4, I believe.
Yeah. 3 or 4 guys showed up today, man. So we got plenty of work ahead of us, you know. We're getting new people every day. We had guys show up yesterday. You know, God is just sending them in. So we're not slacking people to witness. If new guys not coming in, just witness to each other. Be a witness to each other, you know. So Paul, man, says, man, I'm innocent of the blood, you know. For I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Amen. He says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flocks among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He has made you overseers to shepherd, you know, the church of God. Overseers. It's our duties. Our jobs. We say, yes, Lord, I take the position of an overseer. Those of us in leadership, we made a promise to God that we would do that. It's our job to oversee these men. It's our job to point them in the right direction. It ain't just my job, Jay, Jimmy, Rico's or whatever, Billy and Chris, and it's not just, it's all of our jobs. We answer the calling. Amen. We said yes to the Lord. It's our job to do that. Let's fight a good fight. Let's finish the race. Amen. Let's stay on course. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and spread the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. And you get that sometimes. People try to build a church inside of a church. You know, they come to the house of God and see a flock, and they come talking a lot of nonsense. Want to be hips looking cool. Talking a lot of nonsense out the side of their neck, but no walk. You know, got plenty of talk, but no walk. And you see that a lot of times, you know. And our job just to pray through that. Be careful. Be watchful as well as pray, you know. And that nobody's driving away the sheep, amen. Because you got some wolves out there will come into the right, man, Satan's bold, come into the house of God, amen. And try to bring division in the house of God. And he says, man, it's going to come that. He said, my time of departure. You're going to have people that's coming in among you, man, and speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul said, man, I'm warning you night and day with tears, man. For 3 years, I'm on this journey, and I'm warning, and I'm going different places, but he kept it Jesus-centered. Amen. Warning the people about the coming of the enemy. And see, that's the watchman's job. He stands in the tower, and he warns the people of the coming of the enemy. When he sees the coming of the enemy, he blows the horn, and then the blood is not required of his hand. But now the people hear the warning and don't take heed to the warning, then their blood is required upon their own head. Amen. The watchman that's in the tower, your job is to warn the coming of the enemy. Amen. And so now, and that's what Paul is doing now. He's warning the peoples of the coming of the enemy, because he know that time is coming. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He says, I covet no one silver or gold or apparel. Paul says, man, I didn't cover nobody stuff. You know, I didn't come into this thing saying, gimme, 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 you know, and pass the collection plates 50 times a service or anything like that. He didn't come for that purpose. He didn't come asking for the silver and the gold and the pears, anything. He said, yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Paul said, man, y'all see me work. Remember a couple chapters back, talked about Paul being a tent maker? He worked with his hands. Amen. Paul said, man, he's working, provided. He didn't come saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. Each person in here gives the church $1,000 a man. And, you know, poor people don't have nothing. They're giving up all the house money. You wind up at the mission because you gave all your money. And God didn't tell him to do that. Paul said, man, I didn't come asking for any of that stuff. He trusted the Lord to provide for the house of God. And the work of God. Sure, we're supposed to tithe and give our offerings and all that stuff and in obedience. And when we do, we put it out there and we let the plate go around. And whatever God lays in your heart to give is give. Sometimes we'll teach on that. And when God tells me to teach on it, I'll teach on it. The importance of tithing. We should tithe. Amen. But Paul said he didn't use it for an opportunity to gain wealth. Is what he's saying. He didn't take that time to. He says, I have showing you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the word of the Lord Jesus that he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Amen. And more blessed to give than receive. And when he has said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, for their accompanied him and the ship accompanied him in the ship. So they were sad because Paul told them, you will see my face no more. It's time that I'm to depart, because Paul knew was at hand. The Holy Spirit already showed him when they go from city to city, he's going to be in jail and chained. He's going to be wrongfully accused and all these things. But yet, he went ahead. Knowing all this, he went ahead. Amen? Amen. Man, we can take from that, man. We can just stay on course. Stay in the race, man. I want to encourage you to stay in the race. Sometimes it seems like it's tough, but man, stay in the race. Stay in the race. Amen? Amen. Amen. Someday the heaven will be our home. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Lizzie, prayers out, brother. And if, first of all, before you pray, comments, questions, concerns?
Fell down. Yeah. It must have caused a real ruckus.
Paul spent a long time sharing. He knew his time was... departure is coming at hand. He got to get this stuff done. He's been a long time. He knew.